Good morning, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, hope you all have been enjoying this series that we're doing. That was very weak. Now, really, I hope God's bringing changes to your life as you're learning more about how our family works together and how we can grow people up and that you are changing the way you do things. And even today as we start, we're going to be talking about building blocks again of God's words and our families, but we're going to be talking to you about raising up your children. And so I encourage every one of you to get out something to write on and take notes. And if something comes up for you, don't let it pull you down that you did it wrong. But go ahead and write down what you need to change in your life as you're raising your children.
Amen.
Because there's a big legacy in front of them that you need to help them with. Amen? All right. So Pastor Walker and I are going to continue this today. And we're going to be looking at God's Word and what He says are our responsibilities and how to live them out in the home practically. Practically. So we need to let God teach us from His Word. Okay, and what many of us do is, before going to God's Word, we kind of get started doing it the way our parents did it for us. And they didn't all do it right. Maybe they didn't know the Word, maybe they didn't understand the Word, but we need to raise our children as God says to us in the Bible. He invented the family, not you or me, and not our relatives. He invented this. So we've got to be responsible for doing things God's way. So again, just take notes today and see what God's going to say to you.
So we've seen that the family is the first divinely instituted community. It's the institution that was invented in Genesis 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Not government, not the church, not the golf club, but the family. And so if we're going to do the family God's way, then we do it His way, the Word of God. So Jesus said in Matthew 19:4, He said, and He answered them and said, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And He said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate." So God invented it, so we have to go to His manual, to His guidebook, the scripture, to know how to do this well. And so a really, really big part of the family is that the family is not just for you and I today, but it is to perpetuate God's ways into the future. That our children typically outlive us. And they have influence longer than us. And so God is a multi-generational God. And the way that that happens is through parenting. And it's through raising our children in the Lord. And so in the beginning, God decided, man, wife, covenant of marriage, the two shall become one flesh, and then the two of them are to populate the earth. And so God decided that children should not only be created in the covenant of marriage, but that they also should be raised up in marriage. Now, it's not a news flash, but children can be created outside of marriage, right? And that happens. And perhaps some of you were created outside of the covenant of marriage. And thank God for redemption and thank God for His help. But we can't ignore that the best way to raise a child is for a mom and a dad under the same roof, loving the same Jesus, raising that child together. All right. So we want to look at three areas that the Word of God gives us as building blocks that are foundational for raising kids, and then we want to look at specifics about those three things, all right? So, first one is love, that we love our children. The second one is that we train our children, And thirdly, is that we discipline our children. So those are three. Maybe there are 33, but we only have one sermon. So, but those are really, really foundational things. And if we can get those right, and really the heart of those things right, then we'll do a lot well. So let's look at the first one on love. So we love our children. So the first Sunday that we started this message on the family, we talked about that in all of our family relationships, whether it's our spouse or a cousin that we see once a year, the foundational motive is love. Love being what's good for them. What is God's best for them? So not selfish, but others-centered motive, okay? So our role as a parent must be motivated by love for our child. Now, I realize first service we have lots of moms and dads, and maybe you're here today and you are not a mom or a dad, or you say, well, Pastor, I'm not really raising children. My children are 40, so they are, whatever I did is done, okay? But, so maybe your kids are big, but you can have an appropriate role in their life. Many, many of us find ourselves at different times, whether we're married or not, but we find ourselves sometimes as kind of surrogate parents, yeah. Or we have an influence over nieces and nephews, or someone even in the church. So these are principles that will work big time. And if you're single, aspiring to be married, I would kind of put this series in the back of your mind. I married my wife because I loved her. A few other reasons I really can't mention on a Sunday morning, but. Sorry, yeah. But I really did see in her, she would be an awesome mom. And I really, really wanted to have kids. And she was a better mom than I even imagined. So, wherever you are, this is going to be helpful to you. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So as a father shows compassion to his children. So the psalmist is saying that this is a given, that we see this in society. A father has compassion for his children. So the Lord has compassion, for he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. New Living Translation says it this way. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate. So, moms and dads, what is a quality that the Bible calls us to towards our children? Tender and compassionate. All right. So, we allow the love of God and the motive of God's love to work in us. And so that means that as a mom and a dad, every response that we have towards our child comes from a heart of love, right? Meaning it's not a selfish reason. So even training and advice and discipline, it is from a place of love. Yep.
So as parents, we should want God's highest and best for them. It's not what I as a mom want to get out of them for me. It's all about them. It's our role as parents is to raise them up in the ways of God. It's a mom and a dad giving them their very best to become responsible adults. Responsible adults. So it's not me being selfish and wanting them to do the dishes for me. No, I'm having them do the dishes to grow in responsibility. Yeah. It's not about me. It's not about, well, somebody's coming to the house tonight and we have to have the whole house clean. And so you need to get busy doing that because we've got to make an impression. No, no, no. Don't put that on your child. You've got to 18 years minimum, possibly, right, of raising them up so that they can leave your home. We can't let selfishness hijack our motives towards our children. You, David, you need to give me good grades so I can tell everyone how smart you are. You need to give me friendship or status or give us grandkids. That is so selfish. It's selfish. Our role is to raise them up to be responsible adults. Let me read this. We did a series, I don't even know, it's 2015 or something. It was a series of parenting with purpose. And this is something that we did with our children. It was this little phrase of to raise Jesus-following, mature, grown-up, independent, successful adults. Let me say that again. To raise Jesus-following, mature, grown-up, independent, successful adults.
Amen.
We can't let selfishness hijack our motives. We seek for them to honor us. We seek for them to not shame us. No, that's not what you need to be doing with them. That's being selfish as well. Maybe they messed up when you were having tea with another friend and they're sitting there and they're misbehaving. And you get in the car and you say, you just shamed me the way you've acted today. No. They need correction from you.
Yep.
And if you're not going to do that correction in a loving way, you're going to mess up your child.
Can I give a specific?
Yeah.
So let's say your child, I hope this doesn't happen, but it we know of Christian kids this happens, is that you get a call from the school and they find porn on your kid's phone. And so you get a call and you go there. So how many, as a parent, that's not something that's a great, happy day. Okay. So what Pastor Haley is saying is, are you more concerned about the shame that it's brought you? Or, my child is in trouble if this doesn't get remedied. So, yeah, you're going to be upset. Well, you should be upset. But are you going to tell them, look what you've done to the family? Your family has more problems than that. Yeah, Carol.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to add this to what he was just saying, too, is so your child was found looking at porn, and you're really angry with them about that. Did you ever talk to them about that? Did you ever talk to them? Do they even know that they shouldn't be doing that? Because that's also on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's also on you. Okay. Love is wanting God's highest and best for our children. Our children are not for us. They are with us for a season. And they're for God and His glory.
Amen.
And His glory. As parents, we have a responsibility to God who entrusts the children to us for a season. Okay? I know when my son was about to get married and we were about to fly over to go to the wedding, I cannot tell you how many of you ladies came up to me and, are you okay? Your boy's not going to be with you anymore. He's going. And that's God's plan. I was really fine. I was so happy for him.
Another male stayed when he left.
Yeah. Because he's my main person, not my child. He is, yes. And that just helped us get better.
Yeah.
But stop hanging on, especially ladies, to your boys. Stop doing that.
Yeah.
You're growing them up to find a wonderful Christian woman, and they're going to have a wonderful life together.
And he is going to love her 100
yes.
times more than you.
Yep.
Yeah. She must increase so that you must decrease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I even remember my father, and we, our the way we do stuff is very different. When we start dating, I brought him home as quick as I could to meet my parents. I want to know what they care about and if they agree. And, you know, not at the very beginning, but I brought him in the beginning, but later on. But my dad was so proud that I found a wonderful man like him. Mm. And he reminds me of my dad. He actually does. But for my dad to look me in the eye and say, Haley, man, you've got a wonderful man. And I'm so, so thankful that y'all found each other. So stop trying to hold on, but let's grow them up so that they can be wonderful, whether it's the husband or the wife, but raise them up.
Yeah.
That they're going to be great together eventually. Even.
There were certainly times when we were raising our kids where we had to lay down our wishes and what we wanted to realize, okay, what does God want? What's best for them? And at times it would go against what we wanted. And there was a time really specifically when Tim was headed to university.
Yes. Yeah. So Tim was, it was a year before he was going to university. We had gone to look at colleges the year before, and we were going to be doing that again the summer before he was going to leave. And So we were standing in the kitchen at our house, and he came home from school one day, and he says, "Hey, Mom, there's a college in California that I'd like to go to." And he was telling me about the name of the school, and I just looked at him and I said, "Tim, that is one college we are not even going to go look at." And he says, "Why? Why? I heard about it from a teacher at school." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you why. I said, for one, it's very liberal. And for number two, it is very far away from us." He looks me in the eye. He says, "Mom, every school in America is far away from us, from y'all." And I said, "No, but that one's 5,000 more kilometers away." So anyway, we had this conversation, and I turned away from him. We finished the conversation. I turned away, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, "Haley, your son needs to go to a school, this school like this, to do what I've called him to do." And I didn't tell Tim. I didn't tell him. And that summer, when we had planned all these different colleges that we were going to go to, I was at my sister's house in Austin, and Walker was still here pastoring and stuff. And so the night before, I said, "Hey, Tim, do you remember that college that I said that we would never go to? Well, pack your bags. Tomorrow morning, we're going. We're flying there." So we got there, and when I stepped on that campus, once again, God said to me, he said, "He needs to be in a place like this to do what I've called him to do." And he started in college with declaring human biology. But he and I, as he was in high school, well, and even younger, he would always talk about being a doctor, and we'd watch doctor shows together. Walker runs out of the room with those when he sees the blood. So Tim and I did that together. But he went in undeclared because earlier, like around his ninth grade year, God told me, "Stop pushing this on him. Don't do that. He's got to hear from me, not you. He needs to hear from me what he's to study." And so I did. I backed off. But after his second year of college, he knew that he knew. He came back here, went to bike cure, came home one night with tears in his eyes and says, "I know I have to be a doctor. I know that I know, because there are people hurting all over the world and places that they can't get good health care." And so now he's a doctor. Okay.
Yeah, so... Yes. Yeah, our role is to be part of God's plan. Amen. God's plan, not our plan. Amen. So, love also is appreciating who God made them to be. Mm-hmm. So whether that's physical appearance, if they've got big ears or little ears, or they look more like your spouse than you, or that we appreciate what God made them to be. And even in their personalities, and you know, our kids have a little bit of me and a little bit of PH and different things, but we can't, you know, we're made after God's image. We can't make our kids in our own image. We want them to be like Jesus. Yeah. So don't downgrade their strengths. Don't wish that they were, I wish you were like your cousin. Well, that's kind of impossible, right? If you let them be who God made them to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is love. And then a huge part of Scripture is training a child.
So Proverbs 22:6 very clearly says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, or she, they will not depart from that. Okay? So it says train up. It doesn't say beat up. It says train up, not educate up. Now, do they need an education? Yes. But we're training them. It says train up, not positive affirmation up. Okay? Training is one of the most obvious missing elements in child rearing. That our kids, they're growing up in age, but they're not necessarily growing up in their mind and in their hearts. Okay? And training isn't giving them a spanking after they've done something wrong that you never taught them how to do right. A child will need more than obedience training. And discipline alone is insufficient without training our children. Mm-hmm. You've got to be purposeful about that. And if you don't know how to do it, there are books, there are other people that could help. But you've got to train them. I even remember the morning of Tim was, I think he was 4 years old, Jess was 2 years old. Walker and I, it was a Saturday morning, and I literally sat up like this and looked at the clock, and it was 9 o'clock, and I was like, oh my gosh, we are, and I woke him up, and I said, I wonder what's going on with the kids. And so I run out, I was like, what were they doing? And I go to the kitchen and see a mess in there. And then Tim and Jess were sitting in the little TV room. And he goes, it's okay, Mommy. I got Jessica her breakfast this morning. I gave her cereal. It was all over the counter. Right? So he knew where to get the stuff out. And he did it. I'd always been doing it for him. He did it himself that morning and gave it to his sister.
And made a huge mess.
And he did not get in trouble for the mess. Okay. So we should not wait until the child's behavior becomes unacceptable before we start training. You should be training first and keep on training till they get it down. Okay? Discipline is a part of training, but it's insufficient to affect proper behavior. Training is the conditioning of a child's mind before the crisis arises. Okay, so what I'm also really saying here, you got to spend a lot of time with your children. A lot. I say this at Rhema. I say, if you don't put your head down at night and are so exhausted, then you were not a good parent today. Because it takes a lot of work to grow up children. Mm-hmm. To be responsible. To find the right person in their life. Much of the frustration of parents' experience is a result of their failure to train. So you need to stop putting it off on them and see where you've missed it and get it right.
Amen.
Okay? Their problem is not bad children, it's just bad training. And the strong-willed, the hyperactive, the highly intelligent, the special needs, and the easily bored all need training. And training is effective on all.
Amen.
So make that a priority with your children.
Amen. So back to Proverbs 22.
Let me say one more thing.
Sure.
This is moms and dads, by the way.
Yeah.
Dads, that's right. They need you.
Yeah.
They need you.
Yeah. We read in earlier Ephesians 6 says, fathers, mm-hmm. fathers,
yeah.
raise up your children in the Lord.
Yeah.
So fathers need help, but they do not 100% delegate.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Proverbs 22:6 in the New Living Translation, it says this: direct your children onto the right path. And when they're older, they'll not leave it. So direct your children on the right path. Meaning, there are, first of all, there are multiple paths, aren't there? So there is a right path, but there are other wrong paths. And what this is implying is that a child does not intrinsically know the right path. Okay? Someone said this, and I so agree with this, but you know, the Bible teaches that mankind, human people, we are fallen from, we have a sin nature. All right? And if you don't believe in a sin nature, you've never been a mom or a dad. Children are born with sin natures, and they just start sinning. Okay? And so what do we do? We direct them onto the right path. All right? So a child, by legal definition, is a minor. A minor. They don't have the mental or the physical capacity yet to live life on their own. And so they're entrusted to moms and dads, and we direct them. Now, what do we direct them in? So there's a path. Now, the path, Psalm 119, 105, your word, whose word? Grandpa's word? No, your word, God, is a light to my path, to my feet, and it's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So God's word prescribes the path. Okay? And please note, in the Hebrew language where the Old Testament was written in, when it says train up a child, in a Hebrew lexicon, it's talking about an infant, from infancy to adolescence. Okay, someone who physically is not fully yet grown. Okay, so if you have someone that you gave birth to that is 32, stop training. It's over. Really, it's over. And you, while they are growing up, you have a season. And once that season is over, it's over. Okay? Now, you could be a blessing, but you can't train anymore. Okay? So don't try. All right?
Also, don't keep enabling them and letting them stay in your home and mooch off of you for the rest of their life. Don't do that either.
Right.
You're keeping them small.
Yep. And it's a bummer that they might not be responsible, but they need to let life teach them what irresponsibility feels like. Okay? And it'll be a real wake-up. Okay. All right. So we train according to God's word. And so what we do as our children are exposed to multiple paths of ungodliness, wrong philosophies, all these different things, we use God's word as the authority to direct. All right? And so it's not just learning our ways. And maybe some of it is our ways, but we infuse that with the word of God. We treat people this way because God says, and we let him direct our kids through his word.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you guys, it's really great that you can send your kids to M Kids and to youth. It's wonderful. But don't put it on them to be raising up your children.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility again.
Yeah.
That's the extra. That's the extra out there.
Yeah.
But you are responsible to be doing this. So God gives us an important training method directly from his word. In Deuteronomy 6:4-9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. So who is that for again? Mom and dad to your children. Not uncles, grandparents. It's the parents. It's the parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Yeah, amen. You, the parent, shall teach the word of God in daily living. One of my favorite things with my kids was being able to drive them to school every morning. And it was such a wonderful time just to talk about their life and talk about their struggles. At dinner times, we always sit together at dinner time. And there's still families that I hear, you're still got kids are over here and parents are over here. How are they going to learn and grow? You need to, every minute you can spend with them, you need to be with them. And I know we've got other things and responsibilities in life. One reason we didn't start Rhema night school earlier is we made a commitment to each other until our kids leave this house, we're not going to do night school. We did that selfishly for us and our kids. Okay? That's how much we loved them and helped to grow them up. Okay, this also implies that you are present in the house with them in the morning, in the evening, sitting, walking, anytime you can find with them. Use it. Jess came to me in high school and she said, "Hey, Mom, I finally figured out how I can get boys to like me." And I said, "And what's that?" And she said this very sadly with her head down. She said, "You've got to wear clothes that show your cleavage. And then they'll like you." She said that with her head down. And she said, "But I'll never be doing that. Because that's all he cares about. He doesn't care about me." Do you know what's going on with your kids? Do you know? But this was a wonderful teaching moment. And when we walked away from that, I was thinking to myself, you know what? That wasn't a, "Hey, Jess, let's sit down and have a chat." Right? It was literally just a natural, we were just chit-chatting. And this came out. Okay? I think a lot of times when parents do see their children, it's a, "Son, come in the room. We've got a lot of things to talk about. I heard that." Don't let that be the parent-child relationship. Now, do those times happen? Yes. But there should be more of just as we're doing life, we're just talking to each other and things come up.
Yeah.
It's still one of my favorite things with Jess when I see her, which is not very often. But I just love, we'll go for a run together or walk together and we'll just chat and talk. And it's just wonderful. Or she'll call and say, "Hey, Mom, there's this guy that I'm looking at right now, but can I have a talk with you?" Oh, I love that. Okay? She's not married yet.
She doesn't tell her dad.
Yes. So I just told dad what she just, the date she's having on Tuesday.
Oh, this is live stream. This is better. Yeah, okay. All right.
She doesn't want, she's okay.
Yeah.
So let me, one more thing here before you go.
Here, let me, no.
Okay, you go.
Let me just
go.
Interject.
That's fine.
So in God's training method of teaching them morning, night, by the way, as you walk, verse 6 says this to parents. It says, "These words which I command you today shall be on your heart." Who? Moms and dads. They shall be on your heart. So, parents, one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children is to be biblically literate. Okay? Please don't think that Emmanuel TV is going to teach your child the Word of God. I mean, please don't think just by having it on all the time or any other channel on all the time. No. The Word of God is in your heart deeply so that when you're just living life, what comes out? the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. God's ways are infused in your conversation. That's God's training method.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Okay, and then the last thing on training is that you have to also take responsibility of yourself when you mess up, when you scream at them, mm-hmm. when you do something wrong, you apologize to them. You apologize to them.
Yeah. That's training.
That's training. It's training. And what are you doing is that they can see that mom and dad do that. If they don't see you doing it, why would they do it?
Yeah.
We are the model for them for everything. And when you're modeling bad, oh, you just messed up their life. So take responsibility.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't towards them. Maybe you're the wife that just screamed at your husband and your kids are sitting there. And now you need to tell him you're sorry and now you need to tell them you're sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sorry that I treated your father that way. Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. They need to hear that from you. They need to see that from you. Yeah. We're not perfect people. So own your stuff with them.
Yeah, amen. So love, building block, training. And then there is an aspect of training that is discipline. Discipline. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 and 17. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Please just don't take the word of God for that. Just go to a grocery store.
Huh? Where all the sweeties are.
Go to the airport and just watch the undisciplined children. Hey, yeah, okay.
Sorry to say this, but sometimes out there, with the kids running around and throwing their trash all over the place.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's not the job of Miracle Life ushers to discipline your children.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're responsible for them. Yeah.
All right. So, a disciplining a child appropriately produces wisdom. Don't we want our kids to have wisdom? All right. So let's do discipline. Verse 17. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind. And they will make your heart glad.
Yes.
That's a good day. All right. So the what's implied in disciplining a child is their disobedience. Okay? It is their foolishness. It is their ignorance. It is their wrong path tendency. Okay, so discipline is only needed when they're not perfect, and there are moments where they're not. Okay? So parents, and this is just in our experience of we're in our late 50s now, is probably when we were younger and we in Christian circles, discipline was very harsh, very strict, very crazy. My mom got that book. But what happens is then parents overreact. Okay. And what we see now more is Christian parents who show no discipline of any kind. Children run the world. Children run the house. Mommy, I don't like this food, and they throw it. And then the mommy makes new food. Yeah. So, well, I don't want to go to bed now. Okay, honey, if you don't want to go to bed, then you're 6 years old. You're in charge of the world, so we'll just delegate you to be the one who makes all decisions, right? So a lack of discipline is not biblical. All right? Harsh and cruel discipline is not biblical. All right, so let's not overreact about the extremes. Let's do what's right. Amen? So, Back to point number one. What's our motive in discipline? Love. Love for their good. Love for their future. Hebrews 12 speaks of God's discipline towards us and likens it to parental discipline. Hebrews 12:9. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us. Again, if the mother is doing all the discipline in the home, it's unbiblical. Sorry. We respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us. Shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of our Father, of our spirits, and live forever? Verse 10, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years. How many years?
A few years.
There's an expiry date. So they disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good. Everybody say, always good. Always good for us, that we might share in His holiness. So God does this for us, and so we discipline our children to share in God's holiness, character, wisdom, all right? So may our discipline have that same fruit of maturity and godliness.
You want to give some bad examples of that?
Of bad discipline?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay. Parents reluctant to discipline children, they may not understand how much damage that you're actually putting into them. You know, and again, now people are looking at them and thinking, what's going on here? Okay? But it's really your responsibility again to discipline them so that they can grow God's way.
Amen.
All right? Without discipline, children will be deficient in important life skills. And what society is seeing, and this is happening all over America as well today, it's a lot of grown-up people, but their demeanor, the way they work, the way they don't work, the way they're irresponsible, they are really like 13-year-olds in an adult body.
Yeah.
Okay? And that is happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Because we're not... Today's society is and it's, this is more with moms, but they want their kids to love them. Well, we do love them, but they need discipline to become a full adult. And when you're not disciplining, and sometimes it's with your mouth, not screaming at them, but it's with your mouth sharing with them and ending it always with, I love you, okay? Because you should still love them. The reason that you're calling them out is because you want them to grow up to be responsible adults.
Amen.
Okay, so on the other hand, children who have been given firm but loving guidance will benefit from traits and abilities like the following, okay? They'll be more responsible, and they'll enjoy being good and helping others at home and school and work. They're there to help other people because you trained them well and helped them. They're more self-confident. They know their opinions and feelings will be heard, and their parents love them even when they make mistakes. Okay? So disciplining a child, we don't need to raise our temper, be screaming at them. But you do need to course correct them and love them.
Okay. So God says to discipline, but then He gives a warning in the New Testament because He knows that it can get weird. Colossians 3:21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Don't provoke. New Living Translation says, do not aggravate. Do not embitter your children. So there, it is possible, if discipline is not done well, that it actually does damage.
Yeah.
It does damage. All right. Now, please hear. This does not mean, parents, that you're running a popularity contest and you're running for a democratically elected family. Okay. And you just need to make them happy. All right. So obviously many of your decisions, they might not be happy about, but it is possible that we can, in the way we treat our kids, we can actually cause them to be embittered. And one way is to be inconsistent. To be inconsistent with, different kids, or your rules change. You have constitutional amendments every second day. All right, they just wake up and the rules have changed. All right, be honest. Be honest in your discipline. Be reasonable about where they are. Okay, so let's say if you're training for them to get out of nappies. Okay, typically boys take longer than girls. As a general rule.
In everything. That's why he had to marry the older woman.
when Pastor Somba was with us, she would always be so proud when she made a joke. So, Pastor Somba, so happy with you right now. Okay, so be reasonable about where they are. And so you don't discipline out of nappies. You train that.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't punish them if they wet the bed. All right, they already feel bad about it. Okay, so don't provoke. And here's a really big one, parents. And we've all been here. We've all faced this. Probably some of us have messed. I have messed this up. Is losing your temper is not godly discipline. That's not godly discipline. God himself does not do that. All right. Your overreaction is not discipline. All right. So stripping your child, throwing him out into the yard, that's not discipline. Opening the gate, throwing him out into the night, that's not discipline. We should actually call the authorities on you.
For real.
For real. Yeah. We have laws in this nation not to... That's beyond reasonable limits here, folks. All right? Your attempt to shame them or embarrass them is not how God treats us, nor is it effective. There was a day when Tim was at home. And obviously, as parents, you don't always plan discipline, but sometimes, in a sense, you catch them, right? And I had a moment with that. And boy, oh boy, did I overreact. And I yelled and I screamed. I used a cuss word. And so that's not discipline. And so for me to course correct, I had to apologize to Tim. But then I certainly let him know this is not God's path. And then let's do some training on path. And then we talked, and we it was an ongoing conversation and life development that, it, from what I can see, God came in on that scene there. But be ready. Parents, don't be surprised. You can be sad, but don't be surprised if your kid tries a cigarette. Okay? All right? I'm not prophesying that over anybody or whatever, but or they try beer, okay?
Or they get a hickey on their neck.
Yeah. Right.
And someone in church tells you that they saw it.
So get ahead of the temptation.
Yeah.
Get ahead of the temptation. And folks, I think parents, most of you realize we do not live in 1940 in a peaceful, quiet village anymore. We live in Lusaka. And the devil is alive and well at every school, including Christian schools and Catholic schools, right?
Yeah.
And so your kids are facing stuff. So get ready and get ahead and to say, you may be exposed to this. You may be tempted. All right? You know, I remember Tim coming back to our house. He was going to study with a teacher and the teacher's child, and we thought that's a pretty good place to study. Well, the teacher offered him marijuana. I'm pretty sure they're not watching live stream. So. But it's like, dear God, you know.
He called me while he was there, yeah. And I said, I thought you were studying. He goes, well, I was, but my friend and his mom are having DACA right now, and they offered it to me,
break.
So I thought, yeah, I'd just call you and chat. He did a good thing.
Yeah. So just be ready, because the world we're living in is crazy, and I promise you in 5 years it's going to be more crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So real quick, punishment is not staying mad at them for weeks and weeks and months and months and months. Don't do that. You're really telling them you don't love them when you're doing that kind of punishment. Or on the flip side, if you're up real late one night and your kid comes to you like Jessica used to do to me a lot at 2 a.m. because she had just finished her homework and I was up too. Hey, Mom, could you sit and I've got some questions. I'm like, it's 2 a.m. I'm so tired. I got to go to work in the morning. No, I stayed up. I stayed up to be with her. That was the time that she was ready to talk about something. I'm going to stay up and be with her. We need to be bonding with our children, helping them to see what God has gifted in them. Mm-hmm. And let them do those things that God has put in them. Don't make them be a doctor or a lawyer or a businessman or this or that because you want that for them. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to get that from God. Okay? But when you see things in them, encourage them about growing in those things. But they need to hear from God what they're supposed to do in life.
Right.
Because if you're doing that to them, you're really saying God's not enough.
Yeah.
God's not enough.
Now, if they come to you with an idea that they want to be a professional video game player, then you're going to have to tell them that that's not a great job in Zambia. Yeah. People aren't hiring for that right now. So when we were putting this together and reviewing this, for me, so I'm 56. I really do wish I could raise my kids again. Oh, my, I really do. I wish. Because when I was 29, I hadn't learned everything. And we want to encourage you parents that please don't leave here today with regret. Please don't leave here with feeling crushed. It is never too late to start today. Today. There were, in the last year that my dad was alive, and he wasn't raising me, but we had some conversations that were so healing and helpful and redemptive. And for me, I wish it didn't take that long, but I'm glad it happened. And so wherever you are, God can show up in your parenting today.
Amen.
Literally.
Amen.
Today. All right. And God has an amazing way of redeeming situations when we yield to Him and when we bring Him in on the situation. And so, you know, if your child is 40 years old, you can't raise them today, but you could pray for them every day. You could get on your knees and call their name out to God every night. So there are things that can happen that God can help us today. Amen?
Amen.
So why don't we look to Him right now and ask for His help. Father, thank You so much for this really amazing responsibility that seems overwhelming so often to moms and dads. And we ask for Your help, Lord, whether our kids are grown or whether they're babies or whether, Lord, we are struggling with teens or, Lord, maybe we're confused about just the crazy world that we live in and everything that our kids are exposed to, God. Lord, what do we do? So, Father, thank You right now that Holy Spirit, because You live in us, You are present in every family that's represented here today, God. You're present. You are God with us. And so, Father, I thank you for moms and dads. Father, I pray for moms and dads that might be raising kids alone. Father, there's been a death. There's been a divorce. Father, something has happened. And now they're left alone doing this, God. Thank you for grace. Thank you for help. Thank you for resources. Thank you for other people that will come alongside and make up the gap and make up the difference, God. Father, we pray for our children today, God. May your word be a light to their path. Holy Spirit, we trust you in them. Father, for moms and dads who have kids that have made a decision not to follow Jesus, Father, we thank you that you are the God who never leaves us, never forsakes us. And Father, while they have turned their back on you, God, you have not turned your back on them. You are the son of the prodigal, the father of the prodigal who knows and loves. Father, we ask that laborers would be sent across their path. Lord, may they pick up a Gideon Bible at a hotel. Father, may they sit on the right person on the bus or the train or the plane who begins to share Jesus with them. Orchestrate things that bring Jesus across their path, God. Our hope is in you. Father, help us in every situation, Father, that our children will be strong in the land. And Father, just collectively as Miracle Life, Lord, may the generations that are following us be stronger, wiser, more godly, and follow you more closely. Father, as some of us are in heaven, may we look down on Miracle Life and see, wow, look what the kids did. Wow. Father, we thank you so much with the eye of faith of what you're going to use them to do to outshine us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. We saw some things from God's word today that said that God is like a father. He is full of compassion. He is full of help. And the Bible tells us that the whole earth, we've categorized people with lots of different names. God has two names, people that are in his family and people who are not. God has children and people who are not his children. And that's because of sin. It's because of the fact that we were born into sin and then we sinned ourselves. And so God made it possible by sending his own son, Jesus, that as many people as receive Jesus, those people he empowers to be adopted into his family. And if you're here today and you say, God is not my father, I'm still in my sin, I'm still apart from him. Oh, friend, here's the good news. There are adoption papers with your name on them, ready for you to accept. God wants you in his family. He said so in his word. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into everlasting life. Will you trust him today? Will you put your faith in him today? If you are a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, and your heart is far from God and you've run away, friend, come home. Come home to a perfect father. He forgives. He makes all things new. All things new. And you might be thinking, well, there's too many things broken. That's what God specializes in. He's a miracle-working God. He can make a miracle from your broken life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want God to be my father. I want to give him the broken pieces of my life and follow Jesus. Wherever you are in this room, simply lift up your hand. Lift it up real, real high and say, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. You know, I need to make this decision. before we pray, anyone else, just acknowledge your need for a Savior right now. Wonderful Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. You lifted up your hand, you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I want God to be my Father. Grab your Bible, your belongings, whatever you came to church with. Come and meet me up front. Just step out of your old life. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Perhaps you're here today and you said, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, but I know I need to be up front. Just come. Just be bold and just come right now. We're so glad for the work that God is going to do in your heart and your life. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let's lift up our hand towards heaven. And let's just say this prayer from our heart. You can just close your eyes and it just helps you to, this is just between you and God. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus, your only son, to die for me. He was crucified because of my sin. All of the wrong things I've done, Jesus paid the price. God, you raised him from the dead. And I put my trust in a living Savior. Jesus, forgive me. Wash and cleanse me from every wrong thing. I follow you now. I accept you as the King over my life. I follow you and you alone till the day I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Would you just follow Sipo here? We're going to go to a place of prayer. Thank you so, so much. Congregation, you can have a seat. We're just going to do a couple things before we go. We've changed the order of service a little bit. We're not passing offering buckets or the bags right now, just to keep things hygienic. But if we're going to receive today's tithes and offerings, if you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. The ushers will be happy to serve you. You can designate your giving. You can also do all of that on mobile money, Airtel. We've got a giving kiosk in the back that's safe and secure. You can do that as well. You can also put an envelope in a lockbox. And so we give because God himself first gave to us. And so what happens as believers is we receive his nature. And if I look back on my life before I was born again, my dear mom was trying to discipline a unsaved kid. Eish, that's hard. And so I was so selfish. Everything was about me. And I had no problem hurting other people or using other people for my benefit. But when we're born again, the Bible says the Holy Spirit brings God's love and he just sheds it abroad. He just pours it out everywhere in our heart. And so now, even our money and even the decisions we make are now not based on us, but based on the love of God. And so one way, we've got lots of ways, but one way we express that love is by participating in our local church and helping our local church do what God's called it to do. And so thank God for you and others that together we help Miracle Life share Christ, mature believers, and change the world. And it takes, at least in 2024, it takes a fair amount of money to do that. And thank God that we have folks that do that. Amen? Let's pray as we over this offering. Father, we are so grateful to you that you allow us to be like you, and including in our tithes and our offerings and our giving, you, Lord, you change the way we live. You change the way we handle our money. And so, Father, thank you that for this opportunity where we can participate in that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.